everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is our engineer and producer on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition, early in February. The earliest temperature, Ray, or the earliest in ever to hit like 90 degrees was February 14th, Valentine's Day. I think back in like the 60s or something. But if we will be very close, perhaps on Friday, it's hard to believe this early, but very close to 90 degrees already this time of year. Hank Amos remembers back in the 60s. Hank, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
We have George H., parentheses, that would be for Hank, Amos III. And, of course, Mr. Amos is the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, which goes back to actually before Valentine's Day, 1914. No, I'm screwing
1911.
This up. 1911. Well, I know your founding was 1911, but I'm getting myself all caught up here. Statehood was 1912. So you predate statehood, the company, by 1 year. So that's pretty amazing. And I was asking you before we went on the air, there is a George H. Amos IV, right?
Yes, my son. We call him Jack.
Jack. And he's doing pretty well.
He is. He's a sophomore at the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so who knows whether he'll want to get into the business, but I'm sure he'll be sort of steered that way.
Well, I don't know if he wants to get in the business, but I think he does want to get into real estate.
Well, real estate is what we're going to talk about for the first half hour and some other things too, because Hank has been around a while. He's seen the ups and downs in our community, and I've probably interviewed you over my 29 years pretty much every year I was on TV for 22, 23 years, and then we've done at least once or twice a year on the radio. So I can remember some really, really, when you put out your annual report, which is coming out this week, about how we're doing, I can remember some bad times, like a couple of years ago when the report was mainly negative.
Right, right.
And now we're going the other way, which is great.
Well, that's the good news.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, before we've talked about, and Tucson really has been in a severe recession, I would say, for the last 10 years or so. It started with the collapse of the residential real estate industry in 2007, but you already saw signs in the late third quarter of 2006, and then there was just a bunch of things happening. Big changes for this year, and our report is very positive, and you could see it because of the way Tucson has really rebounded. Right, it's a much different city than it was a year and a half ago. And both are the city of Tucson and the Pima County Board of Supervisors have realized that growth is good for our community. That wasn't a term that was really embraced, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but it is now. And because we've seen the effects when you don't have good job growth or population growth, and your city goes through a very difficult period, as our city did. But that's changed. There's a new emphasis and focus. We're blessed with a TIF called Rio Nuevo, which is exempt from the gift clause, and we're allowed to really bring companies into our community.
That's a real economic engine right now.
It's huge, and it is one of the main drivers and the success for Tucson right now is Rio Nuevo, and it's headed by some, you know, Fletcher McClusker, who's just a really smart guy, and other individuals on the board there that really know what they're doing, and they have done a great job, and they've taken Rio Nuevo, which was
a real negative,
and the legislature wanted to get rid of it.
And that you don't see that every day, where something is tainted as badly as Rio Nuevo has been, and now is basically very, very positive. It's
a total turnaround. And I was talking to Fletcher the other day, and he told me that there's $700 million either in development now or in the pipeline for downtown. So downtown's already made a big change. That skyline is going to have another major change within the next 2 years. So Rio Nuevo has done a great job. The governor, Doug Ducey, has really paid attention to Tucson, and he's helped bring companies here like Caterpillar to Tucson and focused with trade with Mexico, which obviously we have those benefits. We receive those benefits. So he's working real hard, Rio Nuevo, and then you have the change in the government attitude towards growth and jobs, and we're kind of focused on that. So that's all coming together. But the and you're seeing that now in Tucson. We're feeling it. We're feeling the energy, but now we have a new administration, and I call it the Trump effect. And this has nothing to do with, you know, I'm a D or an R or whatever. Mm-hmm. It happens to do with the fact that, you know, he is committed to ending rules and regulations that have hampered the growth here in the United States,
which Wall Street really has embraced.
It really,
whether
has
you
embraced.
Like Trump or not, you right. gotta hand so it the, hand it to this. Wall Street likes this.
Right. So there's been all these, you know, we've been business has been chained up. Mm-hmm. And with all these rules and regulations that are going to go away, the Affordable Care Act, which has put a lot of, you know, burden on small business, that's going to go away. So now you have this positive feeling that, you know what, I can be, as a businessman, I can do business again. I can start growing again. Business is going to be good. And you couple that, what's happening nationally, and the potential of what everybody feels, and what's kind of going on right here in Tucson, we're forecasting some of the best times, we think, in the next couple of years that we haven't seen maybe since the mid-'80s.
Wow.
So we have a very positive report.
It's almost like, you know, that little neon sign you see that says open. It's like somebody switched on the open sign.
And we felt it immediately after. Well, we've already saw what's going on in Tucson, right?
Yeah.
But the business, the phone calls, and the activity had really picked up right after the election.
And you had one of your best years ever.
We had a good year.
And one of your
it could have been our best year ever. We just had about $100 million in deals that kind of fell apart at the end.
Last minute. Right. Anyway, let's take a quick call. Matthew has called us. Hey, Matthew, 790-2040. Good to hear from you again, my friend.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. I'm sorry I missed General Wickham. It's always good to know that I can hear him online, though.
Yes.
And he sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Hank, obviously, you know, it's been a plethora of good news with Raytheon, you know, and with the rocket companies and Worldview potentially. Downtown has just exploded, you know. But my thing is the city's proposing a half-cent sales tax. I think it's a half-cent, but they're going to be pushing that. It looks like there's real needs for it, for police and fire and things that we need to buy. But I just was curious, you know, are you comfortable with what the county and the city are doing internally? And what can we do for them to get to the point where their infrastructure for the city streets and so forth and is taken care of? But we don't overburden people who are paying property taxes, which is tremendously difficult right now over those last couple of years.
Okay.
And again, how do we not become uncompetitive with an increase in the sales tax? Thank you.
That's a great question, Matthew. Obviously, you're on top of things. And not only is the city having a half-cent sales tax, but there's other jurisdictions, including the state, Pima County, that are thinking about doing something similar or to various different degrees, so that you can see, as a business person or as an individual, more taxes coming our way. So, you know, one of the things that you mentioned is how efficiently is government running right now?
Mike Ortega is doing a great job at the city.
And that's exactly where I was going. So with the city of Tucson, we have a great city manager there, Mike Ortega. And this guy, I mean, if you had to rate somebody on a 1 to 10, this guy's a 10. And he's doing a fabulous job. The city council and the mayor realize how good he is and allowing him to do his job, which that wasn't necessarily the case in previous years. And so he's streamlining government to the best he can. He worked with the police chief. The police chief, they've kind of reduced a lot of their top-level individuals and
eliminated. Yeah, he did a big reorg, the chief.
Big reorg. And so you're seeing that happen, and it's becoming embraced to do that. Can they do a better job? Absolutely. And with Pima County, I think you've seen some of that as well with Steve Christie coming on the board with Allie already there. I mean, she's just a hawk on the budget, right? That I think you're going to see, you know, better governance coming out of there as far as being more streamlined too. So that begs the question, you know, is the half-cent sales tax needed? And that's a good question. I think I would have liked to seen it more towards roads and streetscapes, because I think if we can improve the appearance of our community and make it more attractive, along with some of the things that we're doing with jobs and trying to bring business here, that you, with more companies coming in and more people relocating to Tucson, you have more tax revenue and you can backfill a lot of things. So I'm not really, you know, I'm not a fan of the way they did that split. They went 40% to roads and 60% to public safety and fire. I understand the reasons why they're doing it, and I think business is kind of taking a look at that. The one thing I wasn't pleased with was business wasn't asked to participate in making that decision. They kind of made that on their own. I see the need, and that's going to be interesting to see. But look, you know, Tucson's moving in the right direction, and that hasn't happened. And we've been talking for 20, 30 years.
29 years for 29, me here, yeah, in the community. January of 88 was my first show here in town.
Right, and I think things are finally kind of going back in the right direction.
All right, let's see. I know, Ray, it is time to take the break, but I'm going to take Larry's call here, and then Hank, give a real short answer, and we'll take the break. How's that?
Okay,
Larry, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering if, I live in Haber Valley, and I'm wondering if we out here should sell our homes now before the I-11 freeway comes through, or will we get money for our, there's 40 to 60 homes where they're going to run the path of the I-11 freeway through, if we're going to get compensation for our homes?
Okay.
Or can we sell out and move out of the area?
Let's see what Hank says to that.
Well, I think, you know, it's important maybe that what you might want to go down is go down to the county and see what other developments are scheduled to be there, because there is a need for more housing there, and so there's going to be a need for more lots and improved lots and developments. And that's one of the areas that's, it's affordable area in the community for people to go. So I would take a look and see what's on the horizon. I would see where that road's going, because if that road is, I-11 is going to be a mile away, and that's not necessarily a sure thing that's going to happen. We hope it does happen. Maybe not everybody in your valley want to see that, but it's not a done deal. You might want to take a look. But I would say this. I don't know if I'd sell today, because I think home prices are going to move up, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show.
We are. Next segment, we're going to go through the home prices, the whole overview with Hank Amos.
So you might want to sell later on, like a year or two from now.
Okay. Let's take the break. It is Buckmaster Midweek Edition with Hank Amos. Be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental and Commerce Bank of Arizona. Be sure to bookmark your calendar for the Tucson Festival of Books, March 11th through 12th. The Tucson Festival of Books is a literary extravaganza, attracting 130,000 book lovers to the beautiful U of A Mall and nearby venues for exhibits, author presentations, and panel discussions. The Tucson Festival of Books is very grateful for the generosity of all of our sponsors. All proceeds from the festival are directed to improving literacy rates in our local communities. Please join us as a sponsor and to make Tucson and Southern Arizona well-read. For sponsorship opportunities, visit us online at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org. That's TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman for Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, we've had the same technician at our house for 11 years, and he's wonderful. But you know what? What does that tell you about the company? It tells you it's a great company who treats their people right. And they treat us customers great. I wouldn't use anybody. Truly, truly, listen to me. But Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Thursday at noon on the Buckmaster Show, we speak with Chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson, plus City Council Ward 3 hopeful, Paul Durham. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and 6 years worth of shows in the archive at buckmastershow.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great sponsor. We have wonderful sponsors here on the program. Silver City in Grant County, they've got the big chocolate festival coming up this Saturday. There's still some openings. 20 different chocolate vendors in downtown historic Silver City, only a 3-hour drive from Tucson. It's a great getaway. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, full listing of great places to stay and things to do. Hank Amos is with us. Hank, you like Silver City. You've been over in that part of New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
It's a nice area, nice kind of change. Hank Amos is with us. Mr. Amos, President and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Officially, they put out their annual report tomorrow. We're getting a little preview right now. And, Hank, I've got about 7 minutes, so we're going to go through this rather quickly. Give us kind of the overview. As we said at the top of the interview, mostly pretty much all positive.
It really is. And so it's kind of following the national scene, which commercial real estate investments really boded well during the year. What you saw that's still the darling in commercial real estate is apartments. Apartments nationally kind of hit about 4% on the cap rate, which is extremely low. Here in Tucson, for apartments over $5 million, there were 24 transactions, and at the end of the year, it hit in the fives, which is really, you know, a crazy number.
Whoa, but I haven't seen that number in a long time.
No, it was unbelievable. They had about a total all apartments sold in Tucson, again, which was the darling for commercial real estate, 197 transactions, about a half a billion dollars sold. So apartments did very, very well. The office market, all these markets had positive absorption. So the office market absorbed about a little bit over 400,000 square feet. Vacancies decreased to about 11%.
That's been
a tough market for office because of the
last 8 years.
I can
remember when it was about 20% at one time.
It was up there. Rents remained relatively flat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're thinking about expanding, now would be the time to do that because you can still get a pretty good rental rate. But that market did very well. Retail, vacancies about 6.4%. Rates, again, remained relatively flat, about $15.25.
How about these kind of little they're not really strip malls. They're kind of like neighborhood. You'll see them on the corner. There'll be some empty space in there. Kind of ma and pa little business centers.
So the big thing in retail is the repositioning or the repurposing of retail properties. Mm-hmm. And we can take, you know, Broadway, Wilmot, and we could see what happened at the southeast corner there, and there's now CVS, and we could see what happened with Bourne Properties and what they did there to the northeast corner. And you're seeing that all around town. So it's starting to take these older properties that might be considered a little bit blighted, right, mm-hmm. and repurposing them and repositioning them and bringing in maybe national tenants or fixing it up. And that's really been the big news in retail.
Industrial space?
Industrial market had a really good year. The vacancy was down about 7.8%. And the rental rates are about $6.83 a foot. But they had over about $1.2 million in absorption. So really good, year for industrial. Rates are still flat because there's still some industrial out there, but they had a good, strong market as well. And the land market, which has been kind of flat and non-existent, really since 07, right, because nobody's building and we had that residential collapse. What you're seeing there now is that market's going to get very, very active. Builders do not have enough inventory. And so we had excess inventory in resale homes that were competing because our prices were much lower than the new sale home, okay? But that inventory has really been burning off. And now with all this job growth, I mean, they're expecting, we had 5,300 jobs added last year, 7,100 jobs are expected this year.
Those people need to live somewhere.
And 7,600 jobs in 2018, right?
So
they're going to need to live where, so you're going to start seeing that land market where developers kind of come in, buy a parcel of land, and entitle that and sell that off to builders. And that market's going to get very active here very soon.
While I have you here, you're a former regent, member of the Arizona Board of Regents. A lot of stuff going on with higher education. It seems like every 5 or 6 years there's this move to maybe get rid of the whole Board of Regents, take all their power away, give it to the legislature. You think it's mainly bluster, Hank Amos?
Well, I don't think it's bluster. When I was on the board, it seemed like every 4 years or five or something, somebody wanted to come up and put a bill to end the regents' term. But the regents look at the state, the education statewide, and really don't play favorites. They look and see what's best, right? When you get the legislators in there, they're all trying to teeth something up for their district or their college, and that's not good. And the last thing you want, especially if you're from the University of Arizona, in the legislature, all the power is up in Phoenix with ASU, and so you can't do that. So the regents take a look at a balanced approach and what they need. We're recognized as being one of the best systems in the country, and so it would be a bad move to blow that up.
A new AD, an athletic director, that's in the works. Do you see anything on the horizon within the near future?
I wouldn't be surprised that we get a new AD in the next 2 weeks, and that's just a feeling that they don't want to have a prolonged search. Mm-hmm. The longer you have a search, then other ADs can pick off your coaches, right? Or other coaches can pick up your coaches too. And so I think they want to shore that up, pretty quickly. And we have a very good internal candidate, and I understand there's some very good external candidates, but I wouldn't be surprised if a name gets announced in the next couple weeks.
How about a new president for the University of Arizona?
So that search has gone pretty well. They've interviewed a lot of people. I think I heard there was 200 inquiries that kind of came in on that. They had narrowed that down to 30. That now has gotten much narrowed down to a handful. Pretty soon, what they're going to have to do is now, you can have that search without these provosts or other presidents or whoever say I'm interested, and that's kept confidential, right? Because nobody right. wants to know. But as you get to the close, right, where you only have mm-hmm. a couple candidates, then what ends up happening is you have to release that name. And so now the rubber meets the road, and those folks that were interested are going to have to make that hard decision. Do I want my name released? Because if I do, the university that I'm at right now knows I'm looking.
Right.
And don't know what their relationship is with their administration or their board of trustees or board of regents. So they get a little nervous about that. So we may lose a couple more candidates. But my understanding is we're down to a handful right now.
All right. Hank Amos, Tucson Realty and Trust. Always a pleasure to see you. Thank you very much, Hank.
Thank you very much.
Exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. One of our crown jewels is the Tucson Gem Mineral and Fossil Showcase, and their big event, really, it's the granddaddy of them all, the gem shows, is this weekend. We'll get a preview right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A quick shout out to one of our fine sponsors, Green Things. What a fine nursery. Everything green. I mean, the name is so perfect for them. On 13 acres at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. My wife and I were over there over the weekend looking for a Peruvian cereus. Our giant Peruvian cereus just dying of old age. So we need to get going here with the next generation. Found a beautiful specimen at Green Things, and they'll be delivering. So I'm excited about that. But check out Green Things, greenthingsaz.com. I'm always excited about the Tucson Gem, Mineral, and Fossil Showcase. Paul Hartner is with us. Paul is the spokesperson for the Gem Show. And this is, Paul, good to see you.
Bill, thanks so much for having us back. We love coming by and visiting with you and
we love
your
seeing
visitors.
You. And, you know, when I talk about the Gem Show, when I first came to town 29 years ago, Paul, the Gem Show was the show at the Tucson Convention and Visitors Area,
and
TCC.
You're absolutely right, but it's become so much more.
Oh, yeah.
And really, although I talk about the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show at the Tucson Convention Center, a big shout-out to the 45-plus other venues around the city.
It's that high now, 45.
45-plus wow. venues, yeah. And the economic engine. To refresh your recollection, last year there was an independent study. I believe they indicated there was in excess of $125 million new dollars
wow.
that came into the greater Tucson economy during the time period from roughly the middle of January to the middle of February.
63 years for this event, basically. It started in a school and now, of course, has been at the Tucson Convention Center. What do you have this year lined up for us, Paul?
This year will be great. Our feature, our theme, actually, is Minerals of the Midwest U.S.
Oh, my area.
And we were talking about that just before we went mm-hmm. on the air. Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois
home
has
state. Yep.
Produced some magnificent fluorites from the southern part of the state. Down near the border with Kentucky, but you'll
what are the fluorites? They're
fluorites, calcium fluoride mineral.
Okay.
And one of the reasons it's absolutely beautiful for our purposes is the color. You'll find fluorites, yellows, greens, blues, pinks, purples, every color, and they're great crystal habits. But mm-hmm. the minerals of the Midwest are span, and we sort of tinkered with the definition of Midwest, but we've got Arkansas, which has some fabulous minerals, including our great partner, the U.S. National Museum, the Smithsonian, bringing out an 18-carat yellow diamond from Arkansas that'll be on display. But we go all the way to the Canadian border and the Upper Peninsula and the magnificent coppers from the copper deposits in the UP.
Yeah, that's so. It's every year you do a featured kind of mineral. Let you put that on pause there, Paul. No problem. What about the Smithsonian? They've been so good to you as a partner.
The Smithsonian first started 50 years ago now. Former curator, a man named Paul Desitels, thought that it would be ideal for the National Museum to support the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, and he is the curator that brought the first museum exhibit to the Smithsonian. The current curator is a man named Jeff Post, and in talking with Jeff, he'll be on the show floor, and all of your listeners can and should visit with him, but Jeff has the view that these minerals belong to the public. They should get out in the public and be seen by the public without everybody having to travel to Washington, D.C. So Jeff annually brings a spectacular exhibits tied to the theme, as well as a few exceptional specimens or piece of jewelry. I think he's bringing an opal necklace that is a stunner. So that's the little bit about the history of the relationship with the Smithsonian.
How about your vendors, and do you vet them quite closely?
Absolutely. We're very proud of the vendors. We have approximately 250 vendors, literally from every continent in the world. We don't have anyone from Antarctica, but we have vendors from Australia, Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, North America. And yes, they are all vetted. Every dealer is vetted. There's an application process. The dealers are reviewed by the show committee and either approved or disapproved for participation. There is a waiting list. It is the premier show, as you mentioned, and we want to present good quality dealers so that anyone who comes to the show and makes a purchase can leave knowing and being confident that what they have bought is accurately described, fairly priced, and the quality which you would expect.
What should people know about this year's show as far as kind of the nuts and bolts of your operating hours and the parking?
Absolutely. Thursday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. Open at 10 o'clock in the morning, close at 6 o'clock at night, except on Sunday. Sunday we close at 5. Parking, as you know, Bill, is becoming difficult in the Centreville, or the middle of the city, and there is parking around the Tucson Convention Center. There are also available garages. The state of Arizona has their garage around the court complex. There are other garages around. It's a little difficult, but not impossible. And of course, you've got the train that stops right at the corner of the Tucson Convention Center.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You've been associated with this show how many years now, Paul?
Officially 7 years, but my first Tucson show was in, and I can't remember either, 1974 or 75 when I was down here for work.
Yeah. But the reflection that you have seen, I'm just curious, the changes with downtown and how that really helps enhance the experience of going to the show.
I think Tucson has done a magnificent job in revitalizing their downtown area. You've got boutique hotels, you have restaurants, you have activities, you've got the art museum, and the one that's on the horizon that we're particularly excited about is the redevelopment of the historical Pima County Courthouse that Pima County is working so diligently with. And with any luck, the U of A Mineral Museum will be moving from the basement of the Flandreau Planetarium into the historical Pima County Courthouse. So the downtown area and the revitalization are critical because you have elements and things you can do within walking distance. You don't have to get in the car and drive 5 miles and park. You can walk, which is a great attribute.
Paul, just like the Tournament of Roses parade, the planning begins for next year's parade really 364 days in advance of the event. To put this show on is a huge undertaking.
It is, and we're already planning for next year for 20. You're absolutely right. We're planning for 2018. The theme for 2018 will deal with crystals and crystal forms, probably a little more on the scientific and educational aspect, but when I think about crystals, and I just like to mention to all your listeners, it could be a pyrite crystal. Every kid has a cubic pyrite crystal, from simple cubes to the most complex 24-sided crystals that you can imagine. So, but we're already planning for next year. There's advertising material out. We're lining up exhibitors, getting ready for next year.
And for parents, bringing the kids to the show is a very much of an educational experience.
Absolutely. When you come to the show, there's no reason for anybody, young kids to old kids, not taking the opportunity to learn. But let's talk about young kids particularly. And again, one of the things that's so good about the Tucson show is it's really a partnership with other elements of the Tucson community. Students from the University of Arizona come over and put on a junior educational program, conduct science experience. They build mineral kits. So young kids can learn a little bit about the science of mineralogy and then also build their own starter mineral collection when they leave. So right. Fabulous. And then lectures along the way and all sorts of educational programs.
All right. Paul Hartner, thank you very much. The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show at the Tucson Convention Center begins tomorrow. Best place to get more information, your website?
www.tgms.org. Please join us at the Tucson Convention Center, 260 South Church Street in Tucson. We'll see everybody tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Bill.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Biosphere 2 is a 3-acre structure sitting on a 40-acre campus about 45 minutes outside of Tucson in Oracle, Arizona. It's been owned by the University of Arizona since July of 2011, although the university has overseen research at the facility since 2007, making this the 10-year anniversary for that research at Biosphere 2. Major research has involved issues pertaining to water and tropical forests. Last year, the National Science Foundation selected Biosphere 2 to host its conference on food, energy, and water. John Adams is with us. John is the deputy director of Biosphere 2. John, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill, for having us on. I appreciate it.
So much has happened with Biosphere 2 since the U of A connection happened. You know, the formal connection was in 2011. But over that 10-year period, when you look back over that research, there's been some really interesting areas delving into that.
Well, it's a remarkable facility, and it's right here in our backyard in southern Arizona. And it's, I think, you know, its place is well positioned within the university research structure. And over the 20 years, there's been just some amazing research that has come out of it that you couldn't have got at with anywhere else in the world without having a facility like Biosphere 2. So, you know, in early on, it was recognized that corals were suffering as a result of a decreasing pH. That was first discovered inside Biosphere 2. We did some studies where we're looking at how much carbon dioxide can rainforests take up and where do they saturate. Some of that stuff was then there. And then looking at an agroforestry product with cottonwoods and how do they emit certain types of gases under certain stressors. You know, a lot of those were first discovered at Biosphere 2, and it's because of its size but yet controllability that allowed us to do those things.
And the irony there that, you know, our coral, our wonderful coral reefs around the world, there was so much concern, John Adams, about that the coral reefs were dying off, not just in the Caribbean, but the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia. And as you say, an ocean product and an ocean gift to us all, a gift of nature, was really a place in the desert could come up with maybe some solutions to saving that coral.
Well, it is, and that's what's really unique. We just don't know from a science perspective where some of those solutions or insights are going to come from. And, you know, Biosphere started off with a slightly different trajectory, and then, you know, very early on in its history, that trajectory changed, and now we've got the world's largest earth and environmental science laboratory that has a rainforest that's been there for 25 years now, a reef system that's evolved and changed for that period of time. And now we've got the largest earth science experiment in LEO, the Landscape Evolution Observatory. And all of that can be viewed by the visitors. So they can come in every day. It's a laboratory that, in a sense, is open.
It's a laboratory open to the public, which is very unique. And so much of research and scientific research is a mystery, John, to the public. This is a great bridge to letting people kind of get an inside look at how all of this is done.
No, and that's one of our key goals. So, you know, the university, and in particular the University of Arizona, is one of the top research institutions in the nation and in the world. But oftentimes what happens behind those closed doors, you're right, many people don't have an opportunity to learn or experience that. At Biosphere, one of our goals is to open that up. And you can come in and in part see what's going on. And that is a fundamental goal of the university, the College of Science, and then, you know, the office that helps to provide direction as a whole, the Research, Discovery, and Innovation Office at the university. That all helps drive that public outreach, but also maintain a extremely high level of research going on.
Your lab that's known as LEO, it's an observatory, Landscape Evolution Observatory, with the acronym LEO. You have some hydrologists, this was written up recently in the Arizona Daily Star, that are actually looking at being able to measure the age of water. That it just seems like science fiction, trying to figure that. How are they ever going to measure the age of water?
Well, you know, some of the things that Biosphere allows us to do is begin to understand some of those interrelationships and those fundamental mechanisms that tie what happens in the soil, what happens in the plants, and what happens in the atmosphere. And LEO's a perfect place to do some of those things. And it was designed where you can add water at a particular time. You can then add water with a tracer. And then you can actually look at how long that water stays in the soil, how quickly it moves through. And here in the Southwest, the presence and absence of water and understanding those dynamics is critical. So, you know, it rains in the mountains, but how much water ends up downstream for you and I to use, how long does it take for it to get there, what's the quality of that water, is very dependent upon the landscape. And LEO, the Landscape Evolution Observatory, in part allows us to get at some of those questions and answers.
And are your scientists primarily from the University of Arizona, or do you have visiting scientists, John, that come from all over the world?
We have people from all over the world. So, yes. Our director of research is Dr. Peter Troke, and he is a university faculty, but he's from Europe originally. We've got a couple of postdocs, one from Germany, one from India. And then we have other folks. We have a Brazilian graduate student who's working on some things. And then we have our researchers, and some of them went to the University of Arizona, got their PhD, and are working here. So it's really a great mix of folks. And we have collaborators and faculty from Canada, from some of the California schools, and elsewhere. So it's very much an international theme there.
You've got Earth Month coming up in April. Any particular celebration you're going to be doing at Biosphere 2?
Well, so we like to think of every day as Earth Day at Biosphere 2.
Yes, exactly.
But what we are doing is April 22nd, Saturday, April 22nd, is Earth Day. Mm-hmm. And in celebration of that and recognition of the 10th anniversary of the University of Arizona's involvement and ownership of Biosphere 2, we're going to have a number of activities on that day. And so we're going to do special tours. One of the things is we're revamping our ocean under the direction of Dr. Julie Cole. So we're going to be introducing about 10,000 hermit crabs, and we're going to ask the public and some of the kids to give us a hand with that. We're working with a local company called Arbico, who's now world renowned, but they help us with integrated pest management. So we use ladybugs to help us control some pests or undesirable insects inside. So we're going to have kids help us release those. And we're going to have in the afternoon, we're going to have a group of researchers that have been intimately involved with Biosphere over both past and present give their perspectives in a series of panel discussions focusing on the earth, food, energy, and water.
We have a lot of winter visitors who listen to the program, perhaps don't know about kind of the nuts and bolts of visiting Biosphere 2. Let's talk a bit about that, John Adams. What is the experience like? How do you structure your visit to Biosphere 2?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we get nearly 100,000 visitors each year. And most of our visitors is what we like to say are out of market or first-time visitors to the facility. And so when you come out to Biosphere 2, it's really easy. You can either purchase your ticket online or purchase your ticket at the door. We offer tours throughout the day, and we structure them in such a manner that they usually go off about every half an hour to, mm-hmm. to hour. People come in, they then go on a tour through the rainforest, savanna, ocean, marsh with a guide that takes them through these spaces, and you end up descending into the lung, which is just a remarkable engineering component of Biosphere 2 and its original design. And that entire visit will take you about two and a half hours. We've got a great little cafe on site.
I was just going to ask, how about food service?
We've got food. So we've got a great little cafe on site where we've got
is there a gift shop for folks?
We've got a gift shop. We love you to stop by there. So
the whole visitor experience really can be in a couple hours, 2 to 3 hours, you're going to have something that's going to be memorable the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it's great. We're located just to the north of Tucson, and we're slightly higher. So on those warmer days, it's a great place because it's a little bit cooler there.
Like Friday when we hit 88 degrees in Tucson, it'd probably be about beautiful 80 degrees.
Yeah, or even a little bit less.
Cooler. Yeah, so and it's a great time.
The views are outstanding up there as well.
How about your website?
So our website is a great place to get information, not only about the tour, but also about upcoming events. And that is www.biosphere2.org.
Or just Google it, and I'm sure it will pop up.
It's one of the first things to pop up.
John Adams, a pleasure. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. The two of them put together a great hour from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. And then our new show, Talking Culture. Talking Culture is doing very well. Hearing good things about that. I'll be back with you on our Thursday edition of Buckmaster tomorrow at 12:04. Until then, afternoon and evening to you.